Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and today is August the 3rd, the year 2011, at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm absolutely thrilled with our topic tonight. It's ADHD transitioning from high school to college. What I'm thrilled about is not necessarily the topic, but I'm thrilled about our guest, Rachel Mason's in our virtual studio, and there's a lot of podcasts and a lot of people doing some things about this, but I don't think anybody has as good a guest as Rachel is, which we'll get into in a moment. She's very special. She's got a very unique perspective. I think that after you listen to this a little bit, you'll know that she's really an authority in this space and really can give us some good insight. Before we kick things off, I want to remind our listeners, particularly our iTunes listeners, that you can have our scheduled email to your inbox if you go to attentionradio.com, that's without the talk, attentionradio.com, and sign up for our newsletter. At this point, we are scheduled out through August, and I've got about 8 shows lined up. Pretty soon we're going to be scheduled out through November, if I'm not sure. I got yeses. I'm just juggling some things around, so that'll be exciting. You'll be able to you'll tune into our newsletter, and you'll be able to see what's upcoming, and so you can put that stuff on your calendar. Also, a reminder, the CHADS annual conference is coming up. It's around the corner in Orlando, about 100 miles from us in Tampa. I'm looking forward to being there, and hope you attend, because if I'm there and you're there, then you can come say hi to me. I'd like to meet you. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. Also, I want to make everybody aware that there's going to be a virtual ADHD conference that's going to take place October the 3rd. Through, I believe, October the 4th. Jennifer Kroretsky puts this on every year. It's been growing in size, and it's a virtual conference. It's going to be online, and there's a ton of guests coming on, Patricia Quinn, Keith Lowe, Terry Dixon, Kenny Handelman, Barbara Luther, Melissa Orlov, Linda Rogley, David Gwork, all past guests of Attention Talk Radio, so I can speak to us. It's going to be a great conference, so put that on your calendar. And for more information, go to ADHDconference.com on that. For our reminders out there, I'm one of our sponsors, one of our loyal sponsors, is Time Timer, and I'm using it right now. As a matter of fact, I see I got 27 minutes left. Remember that they just released a new app for the iPad. If you haven't had a chance to go get it, go download it. It's spectacular. Again, it's a visual timing system that you can watch time pass. So for those out there who struggle with time management, I encourage it. As I said, I'm using mine as we speak. Any other announcements? Let's see. One of the things, I think that we got something brewing, Attention Talk Radio. ADHD Awareness Day, or week, really, is coming up in October, and we're in the makings of trying to do a special edition thing. We're going to have 5 shows in 5 days. We've got a couple premier guests that have agreed. We're just working through the logistics of some things, and more to come, but I will tell you that definitely on ADHD Awareness Day on November the 20th, Michelle Novotny is going to be on, and she's the one that actually wrote the resolution that was passed in the Senate to actually get ADHD Awareness Day, and that's going to be real exciting because it's a funny story, and it did not take place as you might expect. So with that, let's kind of move on because we got a lot to cover tonight. With us tonight again is Rachel Mason. She's the Director of Admissions and Alumni at Landmark College, the first college designed exclusively for students diagnosed with learning disabilities or ADHD. Like many of its students, Rachel struggled with undiagnosed learning disabilities through elementary and junior high school. Upon graduation of high school, she found herself lacking the skills necessary to be successful in a traditional college setting. She was introduced to Landmark College via a family friend. While at Landmark, she developed strong writing and executive functioning skills. Following completion of her associate's degree, she transferred to the University of Massachusetts, where she graduated with a bachelor's degree. Rachel returned to Landmark College 9 years ago. Daily, she works with students struggling to reach their potential and enjoys helping them reach their dreams. She also speaks on the topic of learning disabilities and the transition from high school to college environment. So with that, welcome Rachel.
Hello, Jeff. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate being able to speak with you tonight. How are you?
I'm actually wonderful, and I got goosebumps going up and down myself because I'm real excited. Again, this is real fashionable to do it this time of year because everybody's kind of getting ready to go to college, and stumbling across you was a real gift. I guess to kind of kick things off, in your bio, I was kind of explaining that, you know, you yourself had struggled and gone to Landmark. Can you tell us a little bit more about your personal experience through here and what you do day to day, just so the listeners have a context of where you're coming from?
Absolutely, happy to. You know, I was born and raised in Santa Cruz, California. I was very lucky to have two supportive parents, one of which was a special education teacher. And, you know, she, like a lot of the parents that I see today in my job, created a lot of structure for me in the home. And I was a bright student. I was able to get through elementary, junior high without really learning a lot of the executive functioning skills that you need to be a good student. And once things started to pile up on me and get more difficult, it was a slow snowball effect, and I found myself beginning to struggle in my sophomore and junior year of high school. And I, you know, like a lot of students, you know, planned and found the quickest exit I could. Actually managed to graduate from high school a year early, but then I went to a local junior college, and not surprisingly, the challenges I had had in my high school experience followed me and just became much more. I was able to pass some classes, and I failed others. We began looking for an alternative, and my mother found Landmark College, thank goodness. She put me on a red eye out of San Jose, California, and sent me to Putney, Vermont. It was a bit of an adjustment, let me tell you, but well worth it. That was 15 years ago, and I haven't looked back. You know, not only did Landmark teach me the skills I needed, but also taught me the confidence. And I really think, unfortunately, ADHD and executive functioning difficulties undermine the student's sense of self and their confidence in their ability. We hear about our great potential, but then we can't reach it. And we're failing not only ourselves, but those who love us. And it can be quite devastating for everyone involved in the process. And, you know, fortunately, unfortunately, as the director of admissions, I see this scenario repeated with students coming through our doors. Actually, more than half our students come to us after having failed at another college or university. So it's a story that not a lot of people are talking about openly, but certainly is one that a lot of students are experiencing. And so anything I can do to help in that transition process and help students be more successful, I'm absolutely happy to do and really you know, blessed in terms of my my job and going there every day with a purpose and enjoying it every minute.
And that's what's the beauty of this is there's a lot of other people that are out there that they'll talk academically about this, but you experience yourself, and now you're there on the premises when the people are showing up, whether they're coming right out of high school into it, or they had a misfortunate opportunity at another institution kind of coming in, and you're dealing with this stuff day to day. So interacting with the stuff, I mean, you really, the tire meets the road. You have experience, and you're dealing with it every day, which is really, really cool.
Absolutely.
Tell me a little bit about for those listening that are getting ready to make this transition, and the parents out there, and then, you know, maybe educators and would-be parents, what are the key things from your experience going through this and being there right now that they really need to kind of keep in mind and start thinking about as they make this transition?
Oh, there are so many pieces to think about. You know, first, I want to really say how important it is to have strong executive functioning skills or to plan for those supports moving into the college experience. You know, we had the opportunity to work with AHEAD, which is an organization that guides colleges and universities in the application of the Americans with Disabilities Act. And we did we being Landmark College, did a survey with them, surveyed about 300 colleges and universities, everything from your local junior college to your truly elite Ivy Leagues, asking where are students who are struggling and failing out of your universities, what are the skills that they're lacking? Is it reading? Is it writing? Is it math? Is it executive functioning? And across the board, it was executive functioning. If students were not able to come to class consistently, turn in work, even if it were incomplete, that was the key factor in what they saw their students struggling and then failing in. So you can't underestimate or put out the appropriateness or the importance of those skills on students. Absolutely.
You know what jumps out at me is you started that whole thing with plan support. In other words,
yes,
before you go into the college environment, you've already got to plan and make provisions for those supports. Can you tell me more about what you mean by that?
Absolutely. You know, our students are going from the highly structured environment of the high school life, of being in their parents' homes, providing support that students are often not even aware of. They're not aware of, you know, how much mom and dad do on a daily basis in terms of just having their clothes washed and food in the refrigerator, making sure that they get up, even though the nagging can be incredibly irritating and wearing on that parent-child relationship. They're in a school system that we can argue on how well they provide support, but the responsibility really is on the school to identify students and to create a plan and support them. You know, many of our students don't have the self-advocacy skills coming out of high school to understand what their, not only what their rights are under the Americans with Disabilities Act, but also what the responsibilities are. And to expect that some magical transformation will happen between their senior year of high school and their freshman year of college is simply unrealistic. And this is a huge investment, and really to make sure that there is some way to wean a student off of those supports and to really internalize the structure. I mean, we do it for our kids with their tricycles and their, you know, safety wheels, we take it off. It's the same idea. And, you know, a lot of times we see students who trying to find the right time, it hasn't happened by their senior year. And so if that piece hasn't happened successfully, you have real confidence that they can manage it, there's nothing wrong with trying to create some external supports at whatever college or university campus that you're going to be sending your student off to. And those supports absolutely exist. You need to look for them. It's an investment, but this is all a huge investment.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Rachel, I want to kind of come back to the investment thing in a second, but we need to run to a commercial break. For those that are interested, like they've got some questions or they want to get some insight, the best way to contact you would be to call you?
Absolutely, directly. My phone number is area code 802-387-6715. That is my direct line number, and be happy to talk to folks no matter where they are in the process.
And with that, we'll be right back after this message.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org. Or call us at 800-233-4050.
I thought I could handle college, but I just got my grades. My first year was a disaster. I barely passed. My folks think I slacked off, but I really tried hard. I just could not keep organized with all my assignments. By the end, I just gave up. Maybe I'm just not cut out for college.
Did you know that students have the highest risk of failure during their first semester of college? That's especially true for students who learn differently. Many bright and motivated students with learning disabilities and ADHD have chosen Landmark College in Vermont in order to develop the learning strategies and confidence they'll need to succeed academically. Princeton Review says, simply put, Landmark College knows how to serve students who learn differently better than any other place on earth. We're now accepting students for our fall semester. Learn more at landmark.edu. That's landmark.edu.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Awareness of how your brain processes information and emotions is the key to self-management and success in today's world. I am an international ADD coach. Contact me, Susan McIntosh, at SusanMcIntosh.com to see and hear how you too can be a success.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at AttentionRadio.com. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody. We have Rachel Mason, the Director of Admissions and Alumni from Landmark College, on talking about the transition from high school to college. And before the break, Rachel was alluding to the investment of college and stuff, and I want to want to kind of reflect back about a month ago. Matter of fact, it was July 6th. We had Keith Kozorowski and talking about ADHD and college placement and the importance of not choosing the institution to go to and trying to fit in, but trying to find the institution that fits you, which I think is important here. But college is such an investment. And Rachel, we were talking before the break about that investment and the need for planned structures. And one of the things that it's fascinating to me is I'm in Tampa, and every December I get phone calls from parents of freshmen at University of Tampa and the University of South Florida because they were doing well in school, and now they're on academic probation after their first semester. And I think that and correct me if I'm wrong, one thing I'm alluding to, if you're going to spend all that money to college and your kid has a lot of structure where the parents kind of help them along, you might need to make the investment in maybe a tutor or a mentor or somebody to kind of see them along for that external structure, because after all, if you're going to spend all that money for college, it's a waste if they fail out anyways. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And not only a waste in terms of the actual investment, which we all know can be incredibly significant these days, but also the emotional damage that does to a student. To go and to fail is just absolutely devastating. It also then limits a student's options in terms of their next step. You could have supported them through high school and have salvaged their grades, especially their senior year.
Uh-huh.
They may have good SAT scores, but if they fail that first, second semester at a college or university, they're put on academic suspension or probation. And when they begin to then look at their other options, they're going to be much more limited. And that becomes difficult not only in terms of just the kind of ideal of where you want to go to, but also if you are to find another institution that perhaps has better supports, but if you don't have the academic record to meet their admission standards, then you're right there limiting your choices. So it's a huge investment, again, both financially and emotionally for the students and their families.
And would you agree that investment in terms of external structures is probably more important in the first and second semester than like maybe later in school?
Absolutely. We know statistically, and this is not just a landmark experience, but all colleges and universities, that not only is that first semester critical, the first 6 weeks of a student's freshman year are absolutely critical, not only in terms of doing well academically, but also making connections to different activities on campus, a positive social life. You know, at Landmark, we talk a lot about making the hidden curriculum explicit. And there's a hidden curriculum in college. And I don't mean writing the 5-page essay or learning how to read 300 pages in, you know, a week. I mean, that's certainly important. But there's also other pieces of the college experience that students need to be schooled in explicitly, understanding what the expectations of an instructor are, and understanding how important it is to choose your classes strategically, understanding how important it is to get good sleep, to have good nutrition, to have daily activities. And unfortunately, these are messages that can't necessarily come from parents. It's just the facts. You know, a lot of times I'll talk to them.
I got a 16-year-old, trust me. I tell him anything, it's nothing. You tell him, and it's gospel.
Absolutely. I'll be sitting in a room with the family, and I'll be telling a student, you know, you've got to show up to class. You can't cut off communication. And the parents will look at me and say, I've been saying that for 10 years. So, I'm sorry. It's just the reality. When someone else says it, they may hear it better. And it's just important to plan for that. The same way that we send them off with a good computer and a great highlighter, and their toothbrush and toothpaste, we also need to prepare for that transition in terms of structure and create it for them externally if it doesn't already exist on their college campus, which unfortunately it doesn't necessarily exist in a quality way on most campuses.
And I'll just insert a personal story. Is I went through high school because of my dyslexia and learning disability. I wasn't a stellar student. I was fortunate enough to be in athletics and get on into college on a college scholarship. And I was fortunate to go to a Big Ten school where if you're on scholarship, you got unlimited tutors. And it's funny because I took advantage of that. I just kind of jumped on that bandwagon in my first couple years. And I think there was two semesters, and, you know, on campus, I think I had the highest tutoring bill. Of course, I didn't pay it because I took advantage of it. And reflecting back on it, and I went from, you know, like a 2.6 in high school with wasn't a college curriculum, where I was like a 3.5 my first semester, second semester, and it really kind of set the stage and a foundation for me to make that transition. So from personal experience, I'd like to echo, I think, that, as you say, you know, planning for those supports when you get there. I was lucky we didn't plan for it. It was just there as a part of where I was going. But plan for that and actually make that investment, because it's so critical, that that first experience, to make sure everybody gets off to a right foot.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's important when making these plans to involve the student. They have to have a significant amount of buy-in to make use of these resources. We can create all the support we want, but if they don't really appreciate how important it is, and, you know, with a lot of the students I see, there's a certain amount of shame around their diagnoses and a reluctance to seek out support because of that shame. But they need to really realize this is their education, not anyone else's. And what you need to be successful is what's important. You know, how, you know, someone else views it and for the most part is even aware of what supports you're getting is irrelevant. It's really creating an environment where you're not just going to pass a class, but you're actually going to learn the content of that course, because a college education isn't just about a degree. You're actually supposed to learn something in the process.
Touche, touche. With that, Rachel, we need to go to another commercial break. Again, I'm just going to share, for those that want to contact Rachel directly, the best way to do it is her phone number, 802-387-6715. Again, I'll repeat that, 802-387-6715. And, Rachel, when we come back after the break, I'd like to kind of start talking about parental situation, leading to this, because many parents provide a lot of support, and that, you know, that all too often you need to let go and let them fail maybe in high school to make their college experience a little bit better. So, again, we'll touch base on that, but before we do, we'll be right back after this message.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is TimeTimer.com.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention at attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. We're with Rachel Mason talking about the transition from high school to college. And Rachel, this has been a great, great learning opportunity, great experience, and you have some great insights thus far. Many people, we're sitting in August 3rd. Many students are getting ready to go off to college in the next 2 or 3 weeks. There's a lot of planning that's kind of going on. We've talked about, you know, planning the supports and getting them off to the right start. But many of them, many of the parents are the first kids kind of going off and got behind it, and they've got time to actually start thinking about this in advance when their next one kind of comes through. Let's talk a little bit about the nature of a parent with ADHD or a child with learning disabilities and their need to provide that structure. And do you have some recommendations for them as they kind of come through that they can start doing now with maybe a sophomore or junior, start getting them ready for that college experience if they've got ADHD or learning disability?
Absolutely. I think it's important to allow students to begin taking on responsibility for themselves, but to do it in such a way as to really put the student in the driver's seat, you know, asking them and letting them know what you're providing and asking them what they're ready to start taking on. You know, and certainly this will not be without bumps. You know, we talk about our students coming to Landmark, and it's not a silver bullet. They don't just turn around one day and everything is hunky-dory. They really do have to experience some failure along the way, and that's difficult because we're concerned about how that will reflect on their admissions applications when they're looking at colleges and universities. But it is a safer environment to do it in the high school setting. And again, when we are working with our students, we're always asking them what they want, what their plans are, and having them be the center of creating that structure so that they can begin to own the entire process. So as a student is beginning to look at college and their junior, their senior year, allowing them to identify the areas where they're willing to take on their responsibility, provide feedback, and again, as challenging as it can be between the adolescent and parent relationship, to not be judgmental in that process, so that when a student sets up their plan, we can then as a group reflect on how well that was executed, and then perhaps identify areas of change. There's ways of providing that external support within the high school environment just as much as there is within the college environment. So you could apply a lot of the same lessons before a student graduates as after going into their freshman year of college.
You know, a long time ago, I just want to share this just to kind of put this a little bit into perspective about letting your kids fail a little bit earlier, is that if you don't let them fail in high school, right,
mm-hmm.
and they get into college and they don't quite have it right, and you try to protect them so they don't fail there and you don't make a bad decision, then you're really, after college, you're really into the real world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if they ultimately need to learn the lesson, wouldn't you really rather have that happen at home when they're a freshman or sophomore than when they're out of college in the working environment? And it's hard to do that. I've got my own 16-year-old that I'm struggling with who just started driving, by the way, a couple weeks ago, so it's so hard to kind of let go. But the issue really is I'd really rather him make the mistake when I'm around and we can kind of fix it quick and take it off the record or minimize it, as opposed to wait until when he's 30 and then there's really kind of nothing we can do about it. And I reiterate that because I do get these phone calls as a coach in Tampa from the students that are here, from the parents, and many times they've provided so much of that structure that when they go, whether it's planned or not, it just makes it very, very difficult. And I know it's hard, parents. I know it's really, really difficult, but sometimes you need to let them skin their knee. Matter of fact, you push them to skin their knee because that's how they learn the quickest.
Absolutely. It was interesting, actually, Jeff, as you were making the intro, you mentioned parents with ADHD. I think that's important to acknowledge that a lot of our parents are struggling with the same issues that their students are struggling with, or at least being able to see themselves in their students' experiences. And it's tough to watch yourself and your child make maybe perhaps similar mistakes that you made along the way. But that's an entirely, it's all part of the process, unfortunately.
It's all part. As my wife looks at each other day as my 16-year-old trying to drive, we look at her, we're growing up with him along the way. We're trying to figure this out as he is too, you know. all right, my little time timer's got just a little bit of a sliver left. It's got about 2.5 minutes. So with the time that we've got some people in the chat room, and I had meant to throw out, and if anybody has some questions, but with what we have left, Rachel, do you have any other words of wisdom or anything before we wrap this thing up?
Absolutely, especially for those parents who are getting ready to send their students off into their freshman year of college, it's not too late. Definitely, you can put into place, at the very least, making sure your students are connected to the support at the college, that you're making use of any early orientation options that are available for students, and there's a plan in place, and that students are really actively involved in that plan. I also highly recommend that students not overload themselves in their freshman year of college. You know, four courses, that 12 units, is really all a student needs to be fully enrolled. Give them the opportunity to ease into the experience. For those students who are in their sophomore, junior, going into their senior year of high school, this is the time to begin working on those independent skills, that executive functioning piece, and really allowing the student to begin to self-advocate for oneself. There's a lot of great options out there. You know, we offer a transitions program for students who are going into their freshman year, so certainly looking for those types of opportunities to begin transitioning into their freshman year of college is highly advisable. And again, anything that I can do, any advice I can provide, I'm certainly happy to. You've got my phone number.
And you know something, I have to speak up. There's nothing wrong with taking the slow boat to China. I myself took 4.5 years, and I remember my first semester, I only took 12 hours to kind of transition stuff through. So I think that's really, really, really good advice. Don't bite off more you can chew and overload. You know, it's a transition from leaving the nest and going into it, so do it the right way. So with that, Rachel, again, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. It's been very, very insightful. Again, for our listeners, if you want to get in touch with her, 802-387-6715. with that, again, Rachel, thank you very much. And everybody, stay tuned. Next week, I think we're going to have Max Mucci on talking about alternative medicine, which is going to be a very exciting show. So, take care, everybody.